to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
God bless that. She loves that.
I want to see you. And how do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. You love him?
High and
lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord today. Yeah. Hope you brought your air conditioner with you. It may bother some for those fans to run, but, you know, it does stir air for some of the others. So that's, you know, we have problems with it. So we're trying to do the best we can with air, and went through the whole system yesterday, changing everything and trying to work and get it to going. So, you know, just pray that the Lord will bless. Mainly pray for rain to be sent our way, because it's so dry and everything else, until we certainly do need rain to cool things back down and to wet down the ground, you know, and do everything. But just remember that. Remember the Bible study this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock, general questions. So just remember that. Remember then to the ministers. Fellowship ministers meeting will be on the second Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. That's for ministers only now. And it will be here to church starting at 10 o'clock. All right. Then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday at Brother Tom Corshane's. So if anybody wants to go along with us, we will be trying to load up and go up and to see it. I know they said that Brother Dean is preaching for his brother Clinton, because he's had a pacemaker put in, and they said he wasn't doing too good with it. So remember Brother Clinton there, and pray the Lord would be with us. Remember Baby Ace? He was running the temperature yesterday, and they went back home this morning, and just remember that. Remember to pray for Rachel and them with the little baby got here, so everything was good. We appreciate the Lord being with her, and everything's fine, but, you know, they're on their way home today.
Amen.
So that'll be good, getting the baby home. Is that all the announcements? Wade will be preaching next Saturday, not this coming, this coming Saturday. Wade will be preaching down at Brother Collins's, and, you know, there's Saturday and Sunday, so remember that. Amen? We pray that the Lord would bless and guide each one, Brother Timbo's down at Lincolnton. I told him, I said, we're praying about, you know, the Lord to fill up the church down there for Brother Collins, but we really wasn't meaning to take him from here. But whatever, you know, that's what you want to do, do it, you know. Go down and help him and do the best you can. All right. Amen. Well, good to see everybody. Let's turn in our scripture where we've been reading in Revelations 1. What I want to do today is kind of review and just comments this morning. And then this afternoon we will, the Lord willing, be picking up going into Revelations 5. So we've been, this is my 14 services getting that far. I wish that you could have been down with us at Brother Collins's there Wednesday, and that's what I want to try to do now, is just more or less preach to you and you know, not give out notes or even just comment as I come down looking across what I've got here, and try to tie it all together, because it's a foundation for understanding the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. Amen? So just remember that. Our precious Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, our all in all, and Jesus, Lord, is your name. thank you for revealing that name unto us and telling us that we can ask anything in your name. So we ask this day that you would come among us first to, Lord, be here and to speak to each heart as we open our eyes of our understanding unto you and let you speak to our hearts and lives. You come and have your way with us, Lord. Remember the sick ones among us. Just touch each one. Remember our wife, Lord, going tomorrow there to the doctor for more tests. And just, Lord, let everything work out. Take away the pain, because that's the hurting part that we're against. And, Lord, just remember each one. Remember the Lace, Father. And just bless him. Take away that temperature. Be with Brother Dean's brother there, Clinton. And just touch him, Lord, and let everything be all right. Remember all the other sicknesses among us, because we believe you. And we thank you. Have your way now. Come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to Revelation 1, where we've been reading, in verse 1 through 3. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I want to just kind of review what we've been talking about, and then maybe make just a few comments and getting ready for starting the fifth chapter. I thought, you know, on that I would just really start preaching on the fifth chapter, but then I seen that we needed a background of study and understanding, you know, to help us to get up to the place and see. Then it would save a lot of trouble when we get there to just be able to do a lot of comments and things. And so we'll try to start this afternoon on the fifth chapter of Revelation. All right. Now, I've had to bypass a lot of things, I know, in this, even just in what we've been covering. But I believe that we've gotten, you know, the point of what I've been trying to drive at as, you know, to me, the book of Revelation, that I keep saying, is the bride's book. It's a book about the bride of Jesus Christ. It shows you and I. If you want to read about us, read the book of Revelation, because it's bringing it down personally, you know, personal to where we're living. Our day and our age is shown in the book of Revelation, and see, then that way we can read it and see ourselves. And what has been our point, that in the book of Revelation, that you don't find Jesus by himself. You find him showing himself in with the bride, in the bride, and, you know, showing the bride. All right? And that way, then you can look at it and see ourselves. All right? So then, watch what we're trying to do. We started out, so let's just start from where we kind of begin on the series, and we didn't spend much time in chapter 1, but we started out in chapter 1, and we read there where that this is the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John to bring the word down to you and I, sent and signified it by his angel. And you know, blessed are they that read this book, or even to hear. Well, it's a blessing. Why? Because it's written to you and I. So it's a wonderful situation. It's our book, but it's a word of prophecy. Remember what we covered, that prophecy is divine inspiration from God. In other words, a setting in order of scriptures. So then really the book of Revelation is a setting in order of all of the previous scriptures. All right, now that was my point there. See, the book of Revelation, if you want a setting in order, so you go to the book that everybody said stay away from. And even in the message, people, we can't understand. Even after the prophet has brought these things, you know, they seem to shy away from the book of Revelations. But to me, it would be the book of prophecy to cover together, you know, not prophesy, prophecy, C-Y, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y-C, meaning the setting in order. All right, so all of the Bible is set in order by the book of Revelations. And that was the point I tried to get you to realize, that we can read the other Gospels and we say, well, this is God's Word. Well, what do you think the book of Revelations is? I mean, is it just, you know, and you know how I've told you what I believe. We have in, you know, I use it a lot because it's true, but you have what you call a red letter edition of your Bible, which means that everything Jesus says is put in red letter, you know, for to help you. Well, I believe the whole Bible ought to be put in red letter. I think it ought to be read from the beginning of Genesis to the finishing of Revelation because, you know, of what it's doing. All right. But now, we've covered these things in trying to understand. So then we went through, as I said, the first chapter and covering then that the one standing, Revelation 1:13, one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, you know, and all of that, was showing God in bride form. See, because it's women, paps, feminish, see, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. And that's why it says one like unto the Son of Man. It didn't say the Son of Man. It said one like unto the Son of Man. Well, if it's one like unto the Son of Man, it would be the Son of Man in another form. All right? And that Son of Man in another form is in bride. All right? So we started off seeing ourselves. And I told you, I said, even before John went into writing about the church ages and the thing, he told the bride how beautiful she was, how wonderful she was set forth in the Word to understand who we are. So it's our book. Well, then we kind of bypass the church ages because, you know, they're more or less of a self-explanatory reading and the prophet read what he says on those things. And you know, then it would cover down. But then we got up to, when we started there, we found out John said in chapter 1 that he was in the Spirit. See? He was in the Spirit. Well, now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't get in the Spirit. All right? Now, is that sensible or plain? See? And if you talk about an eagle, well, if you're not an eagle, then you can't understand eagle language. You can't eat eagle food, see, and all that. It'll make you sick. But see, then, you know, you don't want to go that away. So John repeats then in chapter 4 that it's in the Spirit, emphasizing what? If we don't get into the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the Word of God. I don't care what we do, how much we read or how much we can quote. If it's not revealed to us by the Holy Spirit and made manifest by the Holy Spirit, what good is it? It's only letters on a page. So you can say, well, I've got it here. I can argue with anybody now about it. Well, that's about all you're going to do then, if that's your point. See? I was sitting listening to a person, testifying, preaching one time. I won't say when, but, just really got into it about the Holy Spirit and the things. And the first thought I thought, well, boy, he's sure taking a lot of time, you know. He's cutting into my time, you know, getting to where he's taking the preaching a while. But you know what? I sat there and thought a minute. And I thought, Lord, that's all that person's got. That's all they got. You know, the Baptists, that's all they got. Is what little bit of God they know. The Methodists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, whatever. It's what little bit they know is all they've got. Well, now, I wouldn't want to take that away. If you think I try to destroy people and their beliefs, you've really misunderstood me. Because I've never wanted to destroy anybody's belief. If the Holy Spirit can't destroy your belief, then what good am I? You know, if it can't change you, what can I do? And that's why that you see very few people are won to the true message, is because most people are trying to beat people with the message instead of preaching the message to them. You know, trying to force you to believe in one God, trying to force you to believe in a prophet came, trying to force you to believe in all kind of things instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do it. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't go to a Baptist church today and stand up there and say, "You're all wrong. You're false." No, I'd do the best I could to try to preach Jesus Christ in the realm they were in. And see, when I go about preaching in the message a lot of time, which very little, but I try to preach in the realm of the people that's there. I don't go preach the seals, marriage and divorce, you know, all of these things like that out somewhere else. I come here and do it. Now, if I'm invited to do it, I would be glad to go and do it. You know, I mean, that's fine. But get the point. See, and I was sitting there and I really thought, I don't want to destroy that person. If that's all they got. If all that you've got is one God, heaven help me to try to destroy it. Help me to try to build it up, you know, clear it up, give a better understanding, help you to get more information, you know, more things. Me and this man were talking one time, and I mean, he was really contrary to me, and this is a long time ago, and he was trying to think of something. I said, "I'll just quote the quote for you. I don't agree with you and don't agree with the way you're going to use the quote, but I said, here's the quote." And I run it, you know, I run it off for him. Because, you know, I mean, I was trying to help a human being. If he's wanting to be blind, let him be blind. I can't change that. But, see, I think that's the point that we ought to have, is to try to get the message out, see, to help people understand. Not to try to how to tell them how bad they are. Because when you do that, that spirit just raises up in that person. And they're not listening to you. They're waiting on you, as the prophet said, to shut up where they can refute what you're saying. They're sitting there running quotes in their mind, you know, and their scriptures and things. And it shouldn't be that way. We should have the Spirit of Christ. He didn't rake down on them until it come down to really hard, right? And really the people he didn't rake down on very much. If you go back and study your Bible, it's always them religious Pharisees. He didn't say to the people, "You're of your father the devil." He specifically put it in one point. But see, just think about it. So then let's just do what we can to help each other. You know, I mean, if there's any way in the world I could help the Pope of Rome to understand what he was even here for, you know, I would go talk to him and try to help him. He said, "Yeah, but he's here to take us down." Well, I think that's what we need. We need to be put down a whole lot where we can cut out all the garbage can and get on with the Word of God and find out whether it's real within our heart or not. And just understand it. It's not all that big. It's just believing. Danny came up here Wednesday. When he walked away, I grinned. I knew his headache was gone. It may take him a while. I called him a day or so later, and he said, "I'm all right." Well, see, I knew right then it was gone. Well, see, he had to get it from God. He couldn't get it from me. I just knew it was gone. See, he can reveal things to you. All right. Well, see, you don't just go out and broadcast it. Do the best you can to help people. All right, forgive me. Won't charge you on that part. Okay. Because that to me is getting in the Spirit. Let's get in the Holy Spirit and relax and just let God speak to our hearts. And you know, I mean, they used to say, and I agreed with them, that's all right. They used to say, "Before you play a tape now," said, "you're going to need to pray 30 minutes. Well, that's a good point. That's all right now. I'm not against that. But I didn't have the 30 minutes. I only had 30 minutes. And that was to get me a tape listening to and riding down the highway or something. So I surely couldn't start praying, you know, and stop in the middle of the expressway and all like that. So you just say, "Lord, help me. get me out of the way where I can listen. If I get a chance later, I'll pray. You know, but that's, you know, people don't understand me like that. But I'm just trying to help you and I get in the Spirit of God. And if we're not born again, we can't get in the Spirit. If we're not an eagle, we can't understand. But Brother Branham, I gave it to you at the end of the message our Wednesday. Brother Branham said, a true eagle will understand. A true, if it's a true eagle. If it's not, there's no way you can convince anybody. You can't convince people by the power of quotes. See? Just preach the gospel and go on and let it be. But let's get in the Spirit of it. All right? Now, as I said, you notice in Revelation 1, I think it's about verse 10, John was talking about getting in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit, you know, on the Lord's day. All right? Then he comes over to chapter 4, and he says he's getting in the Spirit of the Lord. And that Spirit of the Lord is, you know, the days of man is gone. What is the Lord's day? When the day, it's not Sabbath, it's not a date or a time. John was on the Isle of Patmos for 2 years. I'm quoting Brother Branham as I look down, see. For 2 years on the Isle of Patmos, getting the book of Revelations. So it certainly wasn't one day. It's when the days of man is over, is the Lord's day. All right? See, then when it's over with, then we can receive from God what we have need of and you know, relax in that. All right? And what did we find that the book of Revelations is? Coming on over into chapter 4. It's not only the uncovering of the person of Christ, but it's the revelation of his future work in the oncoming seven church ages. The book of Revelation is just not the revealing of Christ. It's the revealing of where Christ is. See? He's in his bride. That's the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. Brother Brown said Jesus didn't know his part in the kingdom until he come to the part of Patmos. Then he could come to John to tell it. Right? See, then it all comes out then that we need to have the book of Revelations open unto us. And we found, I preached one message in there, that we found that it would take a special people. A special people to be able to understand. It couldn't be revealed. Remember, I gave you even the quotes. It couldn't be revealed in the days of the lion, the ox, the man. It couldn't be revealed until this day. And that was my emphasis to try to get across this past Wednesday. It couldn't be revealed until the eagles come. See, everybody says eagle, period. No, Brother Brown said eagles. All right. See, then, because it takes a special people. You know, it takes a special people to understand this message. First off, as I said, you got to be born again. Then you got to hear the message. But then, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal that, if it's not put together by fivefold ministry, where are we? Now, I didn't quote these things, but Brother Branham's the one that said it. I've preached it to you over the series. According to my Bible and according to prophet, the fivefold ministries for the perfecting of the saints. All right. Now, you say, well, that's just trying to make something out of yourself. No, I'm just being what I am. And I couldn't help it that God made me this way. He chose me. I certainly didn't choose myself. All right. But see, the key to understand anything is to first get in the Spirit of what is being revealed. All right. Then put your mind into what is being made known. Not just put it into the basis of, I'll read this. Ask God to reveal it. You got a question about something? You know, I gave you one question in there that they asked Brother Branham, said, you know, what is the carcass and what are the eagles? Well, you know, he explained it. The carcass being the Word of God, and the eagles the ones who could eat the food. Right. That's the way I do. I say, well, all right now, Lord, I want to speak on Revelations 5 now, but I want to know what the prophet had to say. I ain't like one brother. He said, let me study these things out, and said, I'll come back by here and preach on this stature of perfect man one time here years ago. And he said, I don't want to listen to what y'all had to say. Well, he came back maybe 6 months, a year later, and he would have been really good if he just listened to a few things that was said. Because he had the rapture coming in the sixth church age. Because the sixth church is brotherly kindness. And he had a quote from Brother Branham. Rapture comes in the brotherly kindness age. So then he was totally off. So he wasted 6 months of studying. If he'd have just listened and got a lineup, then he would have seen what's going on. All right. But just think about it now. So then we realize that we see God in bride form throughout the book of Revelation. Where do we get to the Lamb that's got the seven horns and seven eyes? The one that breaks the seals. We won't get there today, but you think on it. But we went through trying to find something and seeing that what? That the bride went up in the rapture in Revelation 4:1. John did as a type of the rapture. But one day we will be raptured up, not as a type. And then we went into the symbols of the open door being Jesus Christ. Then we went through the voices, the same voice that John heard on earth, you know. And that's the way he was looking to see Jesus Christ. But when he looked, he saw a door. Because he's a prophet. He's to receive symbols. All right. He hears a voice. It's the same voice he heard on earth. He saw the throne. And he saw one sitting on the throne. We saw that was what? That was not Jesus' throne. That's the Father's throne. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. His throne will be in the millennial reign. What? I gave you these quotes. He was not on his throne. That throne belongs to Spirit God. Not human flesh, but there was a human flesh sitting on the throne. All right? But he was to look upon and described him as to what? Jasper and sardine stone. What? Reuben and Benjamin. All right? The patriarchs. Then we went on down into to the 24 elders and found out they were the 12 apostles. And 12 prophets that was rung around the throne. We went through the rainbow that John saw around about the throne. All right. But see, if you go back and read Revelations 1 real careful, you'll see that that was the rainbow that John was seeing in there in Revelations 1. Like unto emerald, like unto things. Because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a something that would be hard to understand. We went around that the rainbow was around about the throne, and that we in here in this life only get a half of a rainbow from one part of the earth down to the other. But when we get there, signifying that there was more to be revealed. And when we get there, God will reveal the word to us down through the endless ages, and it'd be a great time. All right? We went on over to talking about the judgment seat because of the thunders and the lightnings and things. So that would take that part all the way, and you'd go clean over to about the 17th or 18th chapter, somewhere about the where the white throne judgment is at. We found that we sit on the judgment, not before the judgment. All right? That'll be a wonderful thing, won't it? To know that we missed the tribulation. All right. See, then we went into the combat beast. Revelation 4, 6 through 8. And we saw that Ezekiel, Brother Branham said, saw that, we went back to the book of Ezekiel and covered it. He saw the lion, the ox, it's called a calf there. It was the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle in Ezekiel. And it was the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and it was like a chariot running and doing and all. But it was in symbolics, and what was that? That was Israel in journey, the prophet said. Israel in her journey down through the wilderness and carries it right on into the promised land. And John sees the same thing in Revelation 4, right? When he sees that, he's on the throne, and the prophet said, positioned. In other words, sitting still. Ezekiel's seen it traveling, the moving of Israel. But you just think, and you say, well, how would you understand it? Without a prophet to tell us, we couldn't understand it, right? I mean, to be guessing what these means. Well, I think that's this. Yeah, like the Cupid with the little arrows shooting them, you know. I think that's what it means. Well, what do you... No, I don't think it means that. Well, see, a prophet's not telling you what he thinks. He's telling you what the symbols are. Brother Branham says, then John, speaking of it, he could see in symbols what it was. To bring it down to you and I, all right? See, then the combat beast. Israel saw, Israel was seen in journey. But listen, did you notice that, I mean, Ezekiel seen Israel. John seen them at the throne. A lot of vast difference. Now, where else could you go? See, then it had to be the prophet, right? If God hadn't sent us a prophet, where would we be? We wouldn't have known about Ezekiel. We wouldn't have known about John. But we certainly wouldn't have known the in-between. Now, I hope you was catching on what I was saying about it, you know, two or three services. See, Ezekiel saw Israel in journey. You know, Brother Branham could look above and see all these things. You know what? He could see us in journey. Ezekiel saw Israel in journey. Don't you think a prophet could see us in journey? Was it a haphazard thing to just happen that he would back in the church ages in those times that he would start talking about these combat beasts? And he would say it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, see, they're guarding the book of Acts. Right? All right, so you go in the book of Acts, and it says, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that ain't red letter. I'm going to the red letter. I'm going over here in Matthew and read. Because Jesus in Matthew said, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, Peter said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll take what Jesus said. Amen. I'm glad you will. Will you? No, Jesus didn't say baptize in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. You know, three different names. He said baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All one name. You see, Matthew's guarding the book of Acts. Right? He's telling you about the book of Acts. He's guarding that. Brother Brown said, see, that's where those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he said, they guard the book of Acts. If you want to know anything, you go in the book of Acts and you read. But then you want to know what it is, you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, in my name you'll cast out devils. I come in my Father's name. Right? Guarding the book of Acts. In other words, guarding even the rest of the gospel, I mean, the rest of the writings of Paul, Peter, and them as they wrote. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is guarding them. When Peter would come along and say, I was on the mountain with Jesus. And watch it. But because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John taking place, he said, now I have a more sure word of prophecy. Within his heart, he had an experience of what happened on Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it. Right? And you see what the prophet's doing? He's giving us the journey of the combat beast. There's no writing here to pull this from. You know what I mean? It didn't say, well, this church age is under this, and this church age is under that, and this is here, and this is here. Not written out. You don't even have symbols. Ezekiel, you had symbols of Israel in travel. But you don't have that. But a prophet picked that part up, and he said, see, then you can see now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As they guard the book of Acts. All right. Then he picked up and he said, getting ready for the seals to break, he began to talk about the combat beast. Chapter 5, he mentioned it way back because it's in the Church Age series. But then he goes over mainly to the fifth seal, governing the combat beast. He said, see, they're lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. Now, you ain't got scripture there to read it from. Do you understand? But we got a prophet to tell us what the scriptures are saying. Then we can read the scriptures. Is that the way it's supposed to be? See, then that way it's not our ideas. He said, one day, they're in the fifth seal. He said, these combat beasts are thus saith the Lord. You remember that? I gave them to you as we was coming down. And he covers lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. He said that lion went out in that early church age to combat that Antichrist that went forth into anti-teaching, a teaching contrary to the word. And he said that line lasted down even as much as, and he's still all the way through the church, you know, the church ages, but just the ministry part of it. Because it was a power among the people, remember? It wasn't just them in the book of Acts of Paul, and then they even coming out with Irenaeus and Polycarp. It wasn't just them. It was a power among the people. Like Brother Gary Atkins says, that beast, that Zoom beast, wrong one, if he gets any power, he's got to get it from you and I. Who gave that beast power in the Dark Ages? Who killed the people? Not a demon. Right? Come on, it was in a demon that got in people. They gave him the seat of authority in their lives. Right? But see, down through there, then that second one, that ox, starting in Tyre and going through the Dark Ages. And showing that through that Dark Ages, they would be giving their life for the gospel. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs about all of the people, 68 million of their own record, the Catholics' record. Under that ox, that sacrificial. Then he covers what? The third beast is what? The man. He said, see, there the others were animals, but he said, now it's a man. The name is shrewd. He said, that Antichrist rode out with charging for prayers and all kind of things. He said, man rode out against it. Martin Luther come out saying, the just shall live by faith. It took the shrewdness of a man to withstand that thing. But it was the Spirit of God among the people in that age. Right? He calls them like Wesley, Luther, Knox, Finney, Calvin, all of them. Great men that through their intellectual ability down through there was when they brought in the printing press. Right? Through the smart man. You see, the Catholics had taken the Bible away from the people, and they could only read what they wanted them to read. But here come the anointing upon man to start making printing presses and doing all kind of things. And when they did, then you come out with what you know is the Bible. You know? From the shrewdness of man, a power among the people. But then when you come down to the fourth one, what is it? Fourth one was an eagle. All right? We get down to the fourth one and say, well, eagle, oh yeah, we can understand that. That was Brother Branham. All right. So was Paul, the lion. So was Luther, the man. But what about the power among the people? Well, we ain't supposed to have anything. We're just sitting down waiting on the bus to pull up. One of these days, all going to be over with. And that's why they started. And I've told you what I plain about it. That's why they started all of that. That Brother Branham's got to come back, put up the tent, go across the country, and preach. Well, I've always said what I believed about it, and put it in plain language here in the church. There's 30, 40 days between the resurrection and the time of the change of the body and the rapture. He can preach all he wants to about the country to the people. That's no problem. But it's not sitting down waiting on the bus. What if you go up here to Gainesville, like I've told you before about it? The old bus depot used to be down at the train station. That was where it was at. Down at the train depot was where the bus depot was at. Same place. But when Brother Prakash come that time, he wanted me to take him up to the bus depot. I said, there's not one in Gainesville. They closed out the one at the railroad track. He said, they got one. I said, they don't have one. I know where it used to be, and it's closed out. He said, well, here's the number. Call it. He knew more about it than I did. I called him. It was up in town. They had put the bus depot up in town. But my point is, what if you're sitting down at the railroad track waiting on the bus depot? All right, if nothing else, that's a five-fold ministry's job. To get you sitting in the right place. Where you won't be waiting at the train station for the bus. Where you'll be sitting in the right place to get ready. Right. But you see, in all the other, everybody will agree that the lion, the ox, the man was a power among the people. You know, all the people of that age and 68 million being killed. Surely it wasn't just one man, was it? Paul, Irenaeus, Comba. Surely it wasn't just Columba. Martin and him. It wasn't just one man. Well, see, why can't we see it's a power among the people? Why can't we see then the things that we brought out at the last our Wednesday night? As those Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guard the book of Acts. Okay, you go along with that? They're the guards of the altar. Well, so is the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle to guard in the church ages. Do we want to just do something and do away with it? Do something and do away with it. What do you want to do that for? Leave it where it's at. Even in the Antichrist, he gets off the white horse and gets on a red horse. You know what? The white horse just keeps going. That white horse is a power among the people. It just keeps right on going. It's still riding today. But no, it's a red horse and then a black horse. And then, yeah. But you see, that's what we think. We think we're smart. We really got it figured out. Brother Dale don't understand. That Antichrist was a white horse. When he got on the red, the white horse just disappeared. Now show me that in the message in the Bible. Brother Brown said he rides all the way. Now, if you want the direct quote, I'll give it this way, and you figure it out. He said that white horse rider, the Antichrist, rides to eternity. You want that quote? He don't stop. He said, wait just a minute. You put an eternal light? No. Brother Brown didn't say it. Read the quote. I'll be glad to get it for you. He said he rides to eternity. A lot of difference in riding to eternity and going into eternity. A lot of difference. But you see, church, then those combat beasts was guarding down through there. When that Antichrist got off one horse, got on another one, another ministry just come in, because the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. That line ministry of the true Word of God is still here today, because he's Hebrews 13:8. All right. The ox is still here. Why? Because like I was saying a moment ago, why would I want to take away somebody's little bit of thing that they've got? Why can't we bear with them? Why can't we think about the beast of burden? No, bless God, I'm an eagle. I'm a ripper with a beak. Yeah. Yeah. But you better remember, in this day, it all winds up together. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. The shrewdness of man is still here, even in this old day-old brain. It keeps me from being caught with these old doctrines that goes around that catches 99% of the people, especially preachers. Why can't you see that man ministry is still right here in that brain? Brother Branham said Luther looked at it and said, that cannot be right. That is just the blood of an animal. It is not even the blood of Jesus. Come on. Why can't we still use that brain today? See, that doctrine of two souls, seven thunders, Perusias, River Jordan, it's not true. Why? Because we've got enough sense to be able to figure it out. Some of the things you don't even need the Holy Ghost to figure out for you. Right? You know, there's ministers in this message says the great revelation of the seventh seal is polygamy. And you can have all the wives you want. Well, it don't take no Holy Ghost to figure that one out. Right? It don't take a Holy Ghost to find out that's wrong. Plain common sense shows you that ain't right. But you see, that lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle is all here at one time in the end time. That prophet of God had all of those ministries bottled up into one man. What about that? Come on, you tell me that man didn't have it. Wasn't he strict on the Word? He said, you can't get an eagle off the Word. But then he'd turn around and bear with people and go do what they said to do instead of what God even said to do sometimes. Because he was an ox. I remember one, it really caught me. He said he was going to preach in a place one time and said, this man said, Brother Branham said, I know how you preach. He said, and I believe it. But he said, most of my people are legalists. You remember that quote? Brother Branham said, I wanted to hug him. Well, you know he didn't preach against a lot of things when he preached that night. He said, I wanted to hug the man. It's because he had the love of the people in his heart. Why have we lost the love of the ox and the things, you know, the burden to put up with one another? Where have we lost that at? Like I always tell you, see, that's the reason I don't like to be like I am, but I'm just made this way. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But a lot of you, I've heard you even say, I don't see why in the world they can't see that. Go, when I come in the message, I see it right off. And here I am saying, why did it take me 2 years to pound that into your head that wasn't right? But you see, I'm an ox. I don't beat you to death. You think I do. And I see some of you that still ain't pounded into your heads about some of it. But yet you seen it when you first seen it. Oh, first time I heard that, I seen it. No, you're lying through your teeth. I say them combat beasts are all four right here now in this age. A power among the people. And that's why Brother Branham made the statement then. He told us about the therons and the two different words, and then he come down. You remember how we was ending up the other night? And we came down to what Brother Branham had to say about it. I won't call him to pull these up. But you remember when we got over to the paragraph 186 of the seal book, the fifth seal. The fourth beast was sent forth to combat the Antichrist and his last beast. He's talking about the ride. He said the fourth living beast was an eagle. Now you just study the ages. Study the scriptures. It's an eagle. In the Bible, the last age was an eagle age. And God likens the eagle to his prophets. Okay? And the last age, the eagle age, a revealer of the truth. He sends down an eagle at the end of it. Likens his eagle to prophets. See, we only say prophet one. All right? If you want it, go ahead with the next one then. 17. You remember what we were talking about? The astronaut age? This is the astronaut age. This is the eagle age. We've got eagles. You remember that Wednesday? Prophets rising into the heavens. Well, yeah, there you go. You're looking for somebody up. No, sir. And not me to take it over either. God's already done it. The eagle arrived in the prophet's ministry. He said, I'm looking for this great one to come. Now, where did Brother Branham go any higher than the opening of the seals? And he was looking for the great one to come. He said, well, he preached marriage and divorce. Excuse me, my mind is too good. I'm 72, but it still remembers that the seals was revealed. The marriage and divorce was revealed in seals. The rapture was revealed in the seal. Serpent seed was revealed in the seals, which was preached in 58. Come on. But church, do you understand what he's saying? We got eagles, prophets rising. Look at the next one. This is a revealer of the truth that's been fallen all through the age. Now, we know who brought the truth. But how could it ever be revealed until the eagles, plural now, come? Right. Look at the next one. Sealed away from them until the age of the eagles appear. Brought right down to where it's supposed to be, right? Now, did I give you these others? 20? Not 20. Yeah, I gave him 20. Okay, he's ahead of me today. They're beating me today. But I told him I wasn't going to use no quotes. I was just going to preach. But look what he says. Now, remember his people being eagles, especially his prophets. And then he likened himself to an eagle. He's Jehovah Eagle. And we are his eaglets, the little ones, and how he feeds us with his own mouth. And drop to the last. Look. There's nothing will take its place. Nothing will take the place of the eagles. But the real food, eagles' food. And we are eagles, so we have to have eagles' food. Not social gathering, not political speeches, not some little stitch and sew party, but we need some eagle's food fed from the mouth of Jehovah Eagle. That's why he likened us unto eagles. Eagle is a far stronger bird. He can fly higher than any other bird that there is, and that's the reason Jehovah likened us to unto eagles. You just simply can lift up higher than the ordinary bird. I mean, I'm especially speaking about eagles. Jehovah's what? Choice. You see what I'm talking about? Rise up on wings of an eagle. But you see, we want to make it all in Brother Branham. Then you miss the whole book of Revelations. It's speaking of the bride of Christ. Simple. Right? Then no wonder people don't understand the message of the hour. Because they're trying to understand it and making themselves some kind of a crow or a good hawk. Because Brother Branham was the eagle. But Brother Branham said it was a power among the people. I didn't make these quotes. Your prophet did. When the eagles, plural, would appear, when the eagles would come, thank God for the prophet that brought the message. Because you and I couldn't comprehend of us being eagles if he hadn't have come and made the way. Like I've always told you, we spend a lot of emphasis, and thank God it's true. David did kill Goliath. But then David didn't have to fight no more. Why? Because the children of Israel rose up and went after the enemy. I think it's about time you and I catch on of what's going on. A true eagle will understand if he's a true eagle. If not, he'll try to interpret by being a crow or a buzzard. Maybe a hawk, but it won't soar high enough. We got to be an astronaut, right? How much did the prophet speak about an astronaut? What good's an astronaut if you don't have a ship for it to go in? Been up 42,000 feet, I think, is the highest I remember recording. But you know, you couldn't go over, what, 10, somewhere a little above 10,000 feet. You got to have oxygen. I know I've been 10,000 feet in a prop plane, so I know it's 10,000 feet that you can go without oxygen. But after you go on up, that plane's got to be pressurized. And you got to have oxygen coming in. A lot of people have died because of being too high. You remember, I remember reading one time where something happened on the top of a plane broke off. Well, you know, a lot of people died. You know why? It took all the oxygen with it. And they couldn't drop fast enough to be able to save the ones that were. You got to be pressurized. What do you think we've been doing 40-something years? Trying to get a spaceship built that will take us to outer space, because your prophet said interplanetary travel was a type of the rapture. Interplanetary travel. So we've been to the moon, now we're going to Mars, we're going on up. Right? What about it, eagles? At least we ought to start acting like them. I remember a man said one time, they said something about it, they was doing it, and I had to agree with him, but as people, you know, they were just bubble dancing around. His one brother said, boy, ain't that so much of eagles? He said, look like a bunch of chickens to me. I agreed with him, because chickens can fly. But somebody's going to get out of here. Somebody's going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. Somebody's going to soar with the eagles. And the message, and preach it unto us, the things that we have need of. What is that song about the little eagles fly, you know? Flap your wings, little eagles, it's about time. Sure, I know there's been a lot of fanaticism went with the message of talking about eagles because everybody's wanted to become Papa Eagle, right? Had a lot of people come around try to stuff it down your throat about Papa Eagle, you know. In other words, they was the big eagle. Nope. You had one eagle. Brother Branham was the one that brought the message. There's not another to bring the message. There's just eagles to eat eagle food and become eagles. And eating eagles' food won't make you chickens. But eating chickens' food won't make you eagles. See, that's just a foundation for what we're going into. But have you caught on? I've had two people come to me about this message. I mean, really come to me and talk to me about it. Now, a lot of you say I enjoyed it and everything else. I've had two people come and really say something that I knew they knew what I was talking about. Well, I think it's about time you wake up and become eagles. Find out whether it's eagle food. If it's not eagle food, go somewhere else where there is some. Right? But what about a power among the people? Like I said the other day, who made it to where it's this way? You ride down the road and on houses that are not even related to in any way Christianity, maybe there's eagles on them. Go in a novelty store, and they'll have whole racks of eagles. Is that only for the believers of the message to buy? No. It's an eagle age. Science has went beyond all things in this age. It went from a horse and buggy to an astronaut. Right? Somebody's going to be changed. Come on, brothers. Somebody's going to be changed. Why not us believe we're part of it? Let's sing that, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Open the eyes of my heart. Now, if I stop in the middle of it and look at Brother Richard and go, then you just stop her right there. So everybody watch Brother Richard. Don't close your eyes and play and sing. Watch Brother Richard. Because he's going to be the key. When I tell him to hold it, there's going to be something I want to say. Okay? Let's stand together. Go ahead, brother. Eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you? In the book of Revelation, you see the bride of Jesus Christ. You see him made manifest in his people. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want. You want to see him high and lifted up, don't you? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We say, holy, holy. Keep playing. Just keep playing. You realize we've used that song for how many years? 4 or 5 years. I change a song when there's a change in mind or a thought or what we're doing, right? We used to sing, I love him. We've never been like the normal churches of the message that just sing, only believe. We've always sung what was related to what was taking place. It's always been my way of doing it. I started that because I begin to see something. Hoping you'd catch on. Seeing what I'm talking about in the book of Revelation. That we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We're little eagles soaring in the skies. But you know, I never did finish. Because I thought, surely it'll be caught on to. There was one part I left out of chapter 4. All those that are there in chapter 4 one day, finally, they're flying through the skies. And they're not angels. They are beings, you remember? We brought that out. The combat beast. And the 420 elders, that's not angels. That's people. That's why you had the 12 apostles for the Old Testament and the 12 for the New. That's equals. But you know, they come to one place there when they seen it. They were singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 just like the angels were singing. But these are not angels. Come on, you got angels and you got cherubims, you got seraphims. Those combat beasts are crowned as cherubims and seraphim, right? I left a whole message out to go on. Because I wanted you to see one thing. Those combat beasts being there. Those 420 elders throw their crowns down. Angels don't have crowns. The prophet said, see, they're beings. They're not angels. The other angels are still singing, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. But they're not beings. They don't understand redemption. They never was lost. Those that were lost will be doomed. It can't be, you know, those that took Satan's life. But you see, church, you remember the other day when I was trying to bring it out and I said, you know that we're going to be Brother Branham's crown? Is that what he said? He said, you're my crowns. See, this church will be my crown, right? You that have led others to God, that's your crown. You that have led your children to the Lord. Lived a life before them and directed them and guided them. Fed them and clothed them, but brought them to the gospel. That's your crown. That's your crown. Brother came to me. He said, I had the thought about laying down my crown. Now, if I miss this, it's all right. He'll correct it. Said, I had it thinking about laying down my crown. He said, and you come right across from the message and said, we lay our crowns down at his feet. That's taking place here now, folks. we get up there, you won't have to worry about crowns. But he said, I just raised my hand and lay my crown down. I think it's about time to get serious. And lay our crowns before the feet of Jesus. Because if we don't do it here, we're not going to lay any crowns before him there. You remember that? If we don't sing, holy, holy, holy. Don't sing it here and know what it means. We're not going to sing it there. So think about it. What about your crown? What about it? Now sing the song and think about him then. Back to the first. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Let me see what's being brought. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see it, Lord. Don't let me miss it. Let me see what's going on. What do you want to see? How many times did I scream that? To see you high and lifted. Holy, holy, holy. He's worthy. Sing what?
Holy, holy, holy. I lift it up.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we lay our crowns before you, Lord. What little bit we've got, we lay them before you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I will. Father, we thank you. We pray that what we've said has been worthy. Help us to see, Lord, that we must match there before we can go there. So then we've got to see you as holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But then we've got to cast our crowns as they do in Revelation 4, Lord. They cast their crowns before you. Giving you all the honor, the glory, and all. It's not anything that we could do or have done. It's what you've done. You made a way, and you gave us a prophet to bring us the message, to show us these things, the symbols, and break them. But not to just give us words to repeat, but to speak to our hearts that you may be able to take those words that he has spoken and be able to quicken into our hearts and lives to see who we are. That prophet one day said, when that bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, that she'll be gone. That Satan will be powerless before her. It won't have any effect on us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for being you and revealing yourself. And thank you for revealing us, because the prophet said the bride is part of the mystery and must be revealed. Well, that's all we're trying to do, speak about you, Lord. You said you sent your word and healed us. We thank you for that. Bless and guide now. Lead us in your love in Jesus' name. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You're dismissed. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You're holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for the valley. You were born for the sky. Don't let your trials get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little